Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Bill McGurn of the Wall Street Journal editorial board, who writes the Main Street column, reflecting upon Afghanistan, Vietnam, Afghanistan. I'm old enough to remember Vietnam and remember especially the extremely tragic ending of the U.S. commitment, which had been for over 20 years, 1975, and what was called the fall of Saigon. It was the surrender of Saigon by the South Vietnamese forces, who were much better in shape than anything we see now in Afghanistan. But, Bill, a very good evening to you. The President of the United States, Joe Biden, and the former President of the United States, George W. Bush, are both Vietnam babies. So am I. We remember vividly the contest, the dispute, the anti-Vietnam marching, all of the paroxysms of polity those years. You were in the Bush administration, and you had conversations with President Bush when the matter turned again on Afghanistan and Iraq, in particular Iraq. What is your memory of the president reflecting upon abandoning commitments and maintaining commitments? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Well, John, I think you remember George Bush saying that if it's just me and Barney, his dog, we're not going to leave Afghanistan or Iraq without leaving with honor. We're going to win and prevail and fight. And once he said to me, Billy, we are not going to abandon the people of Iraq the way we abandoned the people of Vietnam from the embassy of a rooftop. And I really admired him for that. Joe Biden just says, there's no way we'll have to leave from the embassy of a rooftop in Afghanistan, but I'm not so sure. What struck me is that the two men took so different lessons from Vietnam. I think Joe Biden took the standard liberal, lesson that it was a waste of time. It was wrong. We should never have been there and so forth. And I think George Bush took the lesson that if you're going to fight, you have to win. You have to fight to win, and you have to win. And that there, especially, I think what George W. Bush recognized, and it was very unpopular at the time, is that when you leave, your credibility is hurt. So in other words, when we left Saigon, it wasn't without cost. Forget about what happened to the South Vietnamese people, who, you know, re-education camps, the boat people, in Cambodia, the killing fields. Even leaving that aside, U.S. credibility, and I think U.S. confidence in itself, really suffered for decades. You could argue it's still suffering from that. And I think people are way too optimistic that leaving Afghanistan the way we're leaving now, with the Taliban offensive going on, is not going to carry its own costs.
The reason we were in Afghanistan to begin with is Al-Qaeda. And there is no uniform reporting about Al-Qaeda, although there is a suggestion that Al-Qaeda is taking a victory lap, that Al-Qaeda is congratulating itself for having maintained very strong relations with the Taliban all these years. The Biden administration isn't emphasizing Al-Qaeda. That remains a transnational threat, a threat to our allies and and ourselves. There was no comparable Al-Qaeda in leaving Vietnam. The Vietnamese never planned to project power into the United States or cause terror here. So it occurs to me that what's different now is that this could be worse, Bill.
Right. Well, you know, again, President Bush used to emphasize that when we left Vietnam, no one had to worry that the Viet Cong or the North Vietnamese are going to follow us to L.A. or New York. But the reason we were in Afghanistan, as you made clear, is to go after the people that knocked down two of our towers, hit our Pentagon, and took the lives of almost 3,000 innocent civilians, you know, on our homeland. And so, again, it's amazing to me that people say, oh, there won't be any problems like that. We've achieved our mission. I remember, you know, again, what happened the last time we thought that what goes on in the back hills of Afghanistan doesn't really affect the United States. I think it's a big mistake because we lose a lot of strategic capability. And I think also we're at the point now that the idea that we're going to send tens of thousands of men over there fighting in combat, we don't have to do that in Afghanistan. I think what we're there for is to prevent the worst. And to provide air support, some intelligence, some assistance to the troops. I don't believe we've had a combat death this year in Afghanistan. I think we've had a few deaths, but they were from like car accidents or something. So, you know, the commitment in Afghanistan today, what, 2,500 troops? That's very modest. We've got 80,000 split between South Korea and Japan, and I think 35,000 in Germany.
The Biden administration is not a risk taker to my reading so far. It's early yet, but not a risk taker. Do we understand then, did they poll this in some fashion? The American people said we don't care about Afghanistan. Did they ask questions about do the American people care about the bad things that can happen, like Al-Qaeda or Central Asia falling to the Taliban? Was that part of their research?
I'm sure they have polled it, but I don't think you need to be a genius in polling to say this is a popular move. People are tired. It is 20 years. It's a long effort. People are tired. And I think very few people, and including our last, three presidents have not made the case for remaining there. You know, they've all, Barack Obama wanted out, Donald Trump wanted out, and now Joe Biden wanted out. You know, and Donald Trump negotiated a deal with the Taliban, which, like our peace deal in 1973 with the North Vietnamese, excluded our allies from the terms of that. So I think it's popular, but it could turn if it proves really bad. I mean, is there any reason to believe that when the Taliban take over, assuming they do, that it's going to be kinder and gentler than the last time the Taliban were in Kabul?
It's 75 years since the end of the Second War, and NATO is planted firmly in the way of any possible Russian adventurism. They talk about it now routinely, about Russia threatening the Baltic states. Is that an analogy not useful, Bill, for what we're looking at here? We had a garrison. The garrison was to prevent worse, which is what NATO is.
And to keep the war over there, right? And I think NATO has served America really well. I don't think anyone's making that argument. You know, some of the people are making the humanitarian catastrophe argument in Afghanistan, but I don't think people are making the argument that for relatively few troops and having a capability and having an air base there, we expand our strategic reach and we prevent the worst. Afghanistan may not be a beautiful country, maybe full of corruption, but you could say that of South Vietnam. But with both of them, you couldn't say, couldn't South Vietnam and maybe Afghanistan over time evolve like South Korea? South Korea wasn't very promising soil either when we put our troops there in the 50s.
Also, it's a fair guess that a future president or many future presidents of the United States will be veterans of Afghanistan, Iraq, or both. What do they draw from this, Bill, that when it gets tough, we quit, that we really didn't mean it?
Well, that is clearly what the Taliban and Al-Qaeda have drawn from this. They have been saying, and to their credit, they've been saying it for 20 years. They point to Vietnam all the time, and they say this is an example that the American people do not have the stomach for the long fight. We wait them out. They will cut and run. You can bet on it. And I am just dreading what 9/11 is going to look like this year with the Taliban celebrating maybe on the streets of Kabul.
Bill McGurn, William McGurn, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the Main Street column asking questions we cannot answer. But having been a young person when Vietnam fell, the lesson is this. Not good things come. Not good things. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Basham.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Data privacy. Hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.